The Choice 1916. I. Stilling, that night after dinner, had surpassed himself. He always did, or Ryford reflected, when the small fry from Highfield came to dine. He, Cobham Stilling, who had to find his bearings and keep to his level in the big heedless ironic world of New York, dilated and grew vast in the congenial medium of Highfield. The Red House was the biggest house of the Highfield summer colony, and Cobham Stilling was its biggest man. No one else within a radius of 100 miles, on a conservative estimate, had as many horses, as many greenhouses, as many servants, and assuredly no one else had 3 motors and a motorboat for the lake. The motorboat was Stilling's latest hobby, and he rode, or steered, it in and out of the conversation all the evening, to the obvious edification of everyone present save his wife and his visitor, Austin Ryford. The interest of the latter two who, from opposite ends of the drawing room, exchanged a fleeting glance when Stilling again launched his craft on the thin current of the talk, the interest of Mrs. Stilling and Ryford had already lost its edge by protracted contact with the subject. But the dinner guests, the rector, Mr. Swordsley, his wife Mrs. Swordsley, Lucy, and Agnes Granger, their brother Addison, and young Jack Emerton from Harvard, were all, for divers reasons, stirred to the proper pitch of feeling. Mr. Swordsley, no doubt, was saying to himself, "If my good parishioner here can afford to buy a motor boat, in addition to all the other expenditures which an establishment like this must entail, I certainly need not scruple to appeal to him again for a contribution for our Galahad Club." The Granger girls, meanwhile, were evoking visions of lakeside picnics, not unadorned with the presence of young Mr. Emerton, while the youth himself speculated as to whether his affable host would let him, when he came back on his next vacation, learn to run the thing himself, and Mr. Addison Granger, the elderly bachelor brother of the volatile Lucy and Agnes, mentally formulated the precise phrase in which, in his next letter to his cousin Professor Spildyke of the University of East Lothmos, he should allude to our last delightful trip and my old friend Cobham Stilling's $10,000 motor launch, where East Lothmos was still in that primitive stage of culture on which five figures impinge. Isabel Stilling, sitting beside Mrs. Swordsley, her beads slightly bent above the needlework with which on these occasions it was her old-fashioned habit to employ herself, Isabel also had doubtless her reflections to make. As Ryford leaned back in his corner and looked at her across the wide flower-filled drawing room, he noted, first of all, for the how many hundredth time? The play of her hands above the embroidery frame, the shadow of the thick dark hair on her forehead, the lids over her somewhat full gray eyes. He noted all this with a conscious deliberateness of enjoyment, taking in unconsciously, at the same time, the particular quality in her attitude, in the fall of her dress and the turn of her head, which had set her for him, from the first day, in a separate world. Then he said to himself, she is certainly thinking, where on earth will Cobham get the money to pay for it? Stilling, cigar in mouth and thumbs in his waistcoat pockets, was impressively perorating from his usual dominant position on the hearthrug. I said, if I have the thing at all, I want the best that can be got. That's my way, you know, Swordsley, I suppose I'm what you'd call fastidious. Always was, about everything, from cigars to wine. His eye met the apprehensive glance of Mrs. Swordsley, who looked like her husband with his clerical coat cut slightly lower, so I said, if I have the thing at all, I want the best that can be got. Nothing makeshift for me, no second best. I never cared for the cheap and showy. I always say frankly to a man, if you can't give me a first-rate cigar, for the Lord's sake let me smoke my own. He paused to do so. Well, if you have my standards, you can't buy a thing in a minute. You must look round, compare, select. I found there were lots of motorboats on the market, just as there's lots of stuff called champagne. But I said to myself, 10 to 1 there's only one fit to buy, just as there's only one champagne fit for a gentleman to drink. Argued like a lawyer, eh, Austin? He tossed this to Ryford. Take me for one of your own trade, wouldn't you? Well, I'm not such a fool as I look.